Pastor Varun and Pastor Dala Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
How many people believe that God loved you? Amen. Hallelujah. How many people know that God has taken care of you? Amen. The Bible says that if you seek the kingdom of God first, all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. You know, I believe in changes. I believe that God wants to change us from glory to glory to glory. And He wants us to become more like Christ. Amen. We don't want stagnation. We want to change. Amen. I would like to preach something from the Bible that I believe is in the heartbeat of God. And if you have a stethoscope put on your ears and put on the heart of Jesus, you will hear this message. You will hear this is in the center of the heart of Jesus Christ. And the Lord told me that as we are growing to reach to the top mountain into becoming like Christ, into becoming the glorious church, the bride of Christ, we will not forget the foundation. Because if we don't have a good foundation, we will fall one day. We will not go that high. That's why we need to sometime come back to the foundation in the church. And we need to be reminded off and on. One time I asked the Lord, why we need to meet each other at least once a week on Sunday or in a care group day? And God told me that my people are forgetful people. If you don't come back together and remind each other about something, eventually we will forget. That's why we need to keep reminding one another. Amen. Can I see the big smile on your face? You know, the Bible commands us that when we come into the presence of God, we need to rejoice. And I make a decision many days ago that I will not let anyone steal my joy. The joy of the Lord is in my heart. So I'm going to rejoice in the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So our church should be the rejoicing church, full of joy, full of smiling and laughter. Amen. Today I would like to talk about the subject called the local church. The Lord told me while I was preaching about the honor of God, He said that the next subject I want you to talk to the church is, I love the house of God. I love the house of God. The Lord wants us to love His house, love the church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we honor Your word. We want to learn from You, Father. We ask for the anointing, for the unction to speak into this house right now, that Your people will understand the heart of God. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Lord. And we want to surrender to Your word, surrender to Your truth. And we ask You, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will change us from glory to glory to glory. Renew our mind according to Your word, Lord, so that we will become more like Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is one of the favorite subjects I'd like to talk. In year 1987, God spoke to me in my bedroom almost 1 month. The whole month, every time I put my head on the pillow, God would speak to me. Mom is my nickname. Could you do one thing for me to show that you love me? I say, yes, I can do it. And He said, take care of my sheep. In other words, start a church. And they say, oh no, I cannot do that because I'm in training. I'm on call every day. How can I start a church? Oh no, no, God, I think you choose the wrong person. I cannot speak English very well. I cannot even sing worship song. How can I start a church? And I never went to Bible school. I'm a surgeon. I was trained to shave somebody's hair, cut on the skin, open the skull, and take the tumor out. So I'm not a pastor. Don't call me to do that. But every single day for 1 month, God spoke to me. I have so many people in this city that no one care for them. Could you take care of them for me? And after 1 month, I could not resist the Lord Jesus anymore. Amen. And I say, yes, Lord, You need to help me. And I remember the first Monday that I say yes to God, because next Sunday is going to be the church in my house. That Monday morning, when I drove out of my house, the sky look yellow, not blue, in my eyes, because I was so scared. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pastor the church. I don't know what to do in, and start a church in Thailand would be another story, but start a church in America, I did not even know how to preach in English. So what am I going to do? But the Lord spoke to me. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will help you. I will use weak people like you. I will use people who don't know much like you. So I will get the glory. If you know too much, you get the glory. But it's not your glory, it's my glory. I'm going to use somebody like the fisherman, like Peter, to build the church so that God will get the glory. Amen. And after that day on, I began to understand the heart of God regarding the church, regarding the local church. I began to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ came to the world to die for man's sins and to save man out of darkness, to set the captive free, and to pull them out of the world of darkness and put them together in the kingdom of light. But after they get saved, they are vulnerable to be destroyed by the enemy. And after they get saved, they are like a baby. They need to grow up. When Pastor Da delivered Paul, Joy, and Tani Da, they were babies, small. We need to take care of them. If we don't take care of them, they will die. They will not have food to eat. If we don't cook for them, they will not grow up. And if we don't spend some money, and my kids say, amen. They ask me, what is the Christmas gift? You need to spend some money, you spend some time, energy, and devote yourself to grow your kids up, to become strong people in society. And the same thing with God. God saved you through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the cross. God saved people from the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom of Satan. And once you get in, you become a baby. And without a home, without spiritual parents, you will never grow. You will be very vulnerable to be attacked by the enemy. The more I study about demonology, the more I understand. In fact, I look back now, I understand why God made me a doctor. I mentioned to Pastor Da and a few leaders in the church that being a neurosurgeon, when a patient come in with headache, you don't just give Tylenol or Percocet or Vicodin. How many people has taken Vicodin in the past? Pain pills. Many of you never take pain pills. Vicodin or morphine. You don't just give morphine or Vicodin. You need to get deep root into the problem, and that you can find a tumor or aneurysm. Then you open the skull and try to clip the aneurysm or take the tumor out so that the problem inside that person that produced all the symptoms will be gone and the patient will be healthy again. And I look at the church the same way. I'm sorry to say that. When I look at you, I look through into your skull. But not your physical skull. I look into the skull of your spirit. And God give me that understanding. When people come into the kingdom of God, they still have baggages. They still have curses. They still have bondage. They're still immature. They need to grow more. They need to be set free from a lot of burdens and yoke on their neck. And that's why God built up the church, so that His people come in, can be taken care of, and can be set free, can be growing, can be purified, can be trained, can be taught, can be looked after to protect them from the enemy. And God has such a highest purpose for your life when God put you in the church. He doesn't want you to be baby forever. God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow up. He wants to get rid of all this junk out of you. Maybe the cancer. Maybe the clogs in the artery. Maybe some disc that rupture in your back that caused your leg pain. Maybe the disc rupture in your neck. I'm talking about physical realm, but actually in the spiritual realm, a lot of people are sick and full of spiritual diseases. And God wants to take those things out of you to form you up to be a beautiful bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this process will never happen if the believers do not commit themselves to a local church. Amen. What is the meaning of the church? Let me ask this question. Is the church a building? No. Can we meet together in the field, in a football field, and call the church? Yes. The church is not a building. The church is a group of believers, group of people who dedicate their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look in the scripture, in Acts chapter 8 verse 3, but Saul began to destroy the church. And if you stop here, you may think that he began to destroy the building. No. Going from house to house. In fact, in the early church, they did not even have a church building. They met together from house to house to house. Amen. They did not have a church building. And he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. The Bible said that Paul persecuted the church. The Bible did not talk about destroying the building, but he was going after the people, those who love God. He wanted to kill those who love God. So the church is not the building, but the church is a group of believers. So we are the church here, local church here. We are all the believers. And you may not know how much blessing you get to be in a local church. And I believe with all my heart that every believer, every Christian should be a member of a local church. We should commit ourselves to a good local church that teaches the Bible and believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ, and walk in obedience and in love to the Word of God. Amen? Amen. The church is so important. As I said from the beginning, if you put a stethoscope on your ear and you put that stethoscope on the heart of Jesus Christ, you will hear not poop-poop, poop-poop. You will not hear the heartbeat like that, but you will hear Ecclesia, Ecclesia, my church. God loves His church so much. If you love Jesus, you love the church. The Bible mentions so many things about the importance of a local church or of local churches of the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, but I'm going to read verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. You are living in the physical realm. We see the body, we see the food, we see turkey, we see the mashed potato, and we look at it and we get hungry. We are living in the physical realm, but there is also the spiritual realm out there, full of angels. The Bible calls heavenly hosts. And not only good angels or godly angels, but bad angels that control every city, every town, and control people's life. And also demonic spirits out there. And God said that, I want to reveal my power, my wisdom, my victory to the hosts in the heavenly realms through the church. The church is the significant instrument of God that He uses to reveal His wisdom and power. I and my wife make a decision 20 years ago after we become a believer. We say that we're going to pour out our life. We're going to pour out our time. We're going to spend our energy for one thing that means so much for God. That is His church. Amen? Amen. You know that to be a neurosurgeon is my hobby. To build a church is my real job. Amen. Amen. Actually, I go out to perform surgery just to have enough money to be able to do the work of God. To build a church is my primary job. I will do anything in the world. I will lack sleep. When I started the church, I remember I slept only a few hours at night before Sunday. Saturday night, I have to prepare sermon, and sometimes I went to bed around 3 a.m. because I was so nervous about preaching in English. Like, oh, what am I going to say tomorrow? Because it was so hard to preach the language that you were not growing up with. I was willing to lose sleep. I was willing to do anything to build a church because I know that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main instrument, is the main vessel that God is using to reveal Himself to the world. That's why our vision and our desire is to build a church that when people look at the church, they say, wow, Christ is in there. And I see Christ in there. I see the power of God in there. I see the love of God in there. Amen. Hallelujah. We may not be popular in the eyes of the world, but we want to be popular in the eyes of God. Amen. We want to build a church that is full of glory, full of honor, full of love, full of wisdom of God, full of the power of God. And I pour my life to do that. I and my wife, we make decision together that we're going to live our life for the local churches that God wants us to build. Amen. Because that is the heart of God. God say, my intent is to use the church to reveal my wisdom to the heavenly realms. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the savior. The Bible says that the church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. You cannot tell me that you love me if you persecute my wife. You cannot say to your wife that I love you, but I only need your head. I do not need your body. If you love your wife, you love both the head and the body. The same thing. If we really appreciate what Jesus did for us, he died for us, he cared for us so much, and he is the head of the body. We don't see Jesus right now, is that correct? He is in heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father. How we can show love to Jesus? Show love to his body. We need to really make a decision, pull up our sleeve and say, I'm going to be the bodybuilder. I'm not going to be a consumer. A lot of time people misunderstand the church. That they come in, what can they help me? What can they give to me? Oh, if they don't have the right program, I'm leaving. If they don't have the program to suit my need, I'm leaving. You know, if you keep having that attitude, I want to let you know, you will never grow up. Actually, to grow up is not just only having the Bible knowledge. People can have all the Bible knowledge. Do you know that the Pharisees had a lot of Bible knowledge? They can read the Bible upside down. They can read the Old Testament, the first five books of the Old Testament. They know everything. But did they grow? No. Were they mature? No. I want to let you know that if you want to really mature, one thing that you need to do, not only Bible knowledge, you need to make a commitment in your heart that I'm going to obey the Lord. And I will love the local church. And I will do everything to please him. And once that happens, you begin to go into the road or the path of spiritual growth. People are not growing by having an easy life. People are not growing when everything is set there for you. In fact, lately I was thinking that maybe I should help somebody to grow here by taking them out to another center in Seattle and start another church. And let people here suffer a little bit more without me. No, I'm just thinking. I'm not saying that I'm doing it, okay? I'm just thinking. Maybe I live here with another group of people and we suffer together in Seattle to start another church. And people here will suffer together without me around, like you feel comfortable now. Pastor Lau is around. You know what? Because when you suffer and you have to pull up your sleeve to do something, you're going to start to grow more. Amen. If everything's so easy, all the program is set up for you, everything, you come in, the carpet is so beautiful, you just sit there and enjoy the nice seat and nice preaching. And you don't need to do anything. You just come in to be a consumer. And you say, I'm not a bodybuilder. I am a body consumer. I'm going to suck everything out of here. I'm going to do, if you don't have it, I'm going to change the church. I'm going to go to another church. Whatever they have, I'm going to go in and suck over there too. I tell you right now, I'm sorry to use that word, but it's true. That sometimes, my wife shake her head. I want to wake you up. If you have that attitude, you will never grow spiritually. I tell you, the reason I grow spiritually, because I suffer. Because I have to learn to forgive, learn how to deal with the problem, learn how to solve the problem, and I grow depending on God, depending on the grace of God. But if everything is so easy and prepared for you, you will never grow. You need to sometimes go through hardships in order to grow. Amen? That's why we need to be the bodybuilder. We need to make decision. If God calls you to be in a local church, you will say, I obey you and I will build that church with the rest of the people there. Don't go to church with the attitude of, what do they have for me? You should come to church and say, this is what I have. I have this talent, this gift. I will be involved to build that body for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will do everything to make him happy and smile. I will do everything to make the glorious church happen in the end time. When Jesus comes back, he will have a big smile and say, good and faithful servant, you have done your best. Come in to the kingdom and rejoice with your Father. Amen. Amen. Do you notice that the Lord Jesus never said that, well, consumer, you go to church to get everything for yourself. You're just so fat. You're just full of stuff. But you don't do anything for me. He said, well done. You have used your gift. You use your talent to build something that I fall in love with, that I die for, that I love, that I really long to meet. Jesus is longing to meet the church. Jesus is longing to come to meet the beautiful bride. And I want to be that person to help him build that kind of church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to challenge you today that wherever God calls you to be, I don't say that you need to be in this church. I don't say that you need to join this church, because there are many good churches out there that you can join. But if God really speaks to you, you need to find out from God directly what God wants you to do and stand firm on it and obey him. And when he said, this is it, this is the house he called you to be, root yourself there and help build. Get involved. Pour out your energy, your life, use your talents and your gift to build the church. And I can guarantee God gonna bless you. God gonna give you favor and grace, and he will pour out more gift to you. God will, the more you're faithful in little things, he gonna give you more things, and he will bless your children. He will bless the thousands of generation after you. Amen. Amen. What kind of people can be a member of the church? Definitely. God doesn't look at your income. God doesn't look at your educational background. God doesn't look at your language. God doesn't look at your skin color. He look at your heart. People who can be a member of the church are those who repent from their sin and follow the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's why our church, we don't look at your background. We all equally sit here. If you come from any background, from any language, if you believe in Jesus, and you call this church your local church, we treat all of you the same. We love all of you. Because God doesn't look at those things. Doesn't look at how much money, what kind of car you drive. He doesn't look at these things. He look at your heart. He wants your heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you, what are the blessings of being a committed member of a local church? Let's look at John chapter 21. John 21. Verses 17 to 19. Today my purpose is to encourage you to make a decision to pull out your sleeve, join the church that God called you to be, and start to be bodybuilding. And also be a member of a local church. Don't float around from one church to another church, but be committed. In John chapter 21, verses 17 to 19, he said to him, I mean Jesus was speaking to Peter, the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I loved you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. In verse 17, Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. When you read that scripture, you kind of see the heart of God. God loves his sheep so much. God cares. And God helps his sheep to grow and protect them by two ways. Number one, he gives the Holy Spirit directly to be in your life, to protect you every day, to help you every day, and to send angels. Maybe one angel called mercy, another one called goodness. The mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. God sent angel to protect you. But it's not enough. He said that he need to appoint somebody. He need to appoint you and me to look after his sheep. One way to show love to Jesus is to take care of his sheep. You say, Pastor Lau, I'm not a pastor. How can I take care of his sheep? Only your job, not my job. But I believe that all of you can take care of his sheep. Maybe in a different way for me. You may not be a preacher up here. But maybe on the Thanksgiving night, you see the people in the church, they don't have families. They are lonely. You say, come to my home, eat turkey with me. Me on the Christmas Eve day or Christmas day, you see somebody lonely. You say, come to my home, let's eat dinner together. You may not be a preacher, you may not be a teacher, but you can take care of God's sheep. Amen. And God wants to do that by gathering all these chicks, the chicken together, and come into his wing. And then he anoints you. He put the grace and the money into your hand and help you to buy a nice house, nice car, so that you can use those houses and cars and kitchen and food that you cook to look after God's sheep. I believe that God gives us the house and the car and the job and the money and the paycheck, not just to enjoy ourselves. But God gives all those things for us to look after other people, to help other people to grow. If you really love Jesus, you need to have that manifestation and demonstration of love. Love without action is not truly love. If you really love God, you say, I'm going to pull out my sleeve and I'm going to do something to look after people in the church. You may say, I'm immature, I'm a new believer. But I can guarantee there are some newer believers than you in the church. You say, I'm only a Christian for 1 year. I'm not like you, Pastor Lau, you've been Christian for 27 years. But somebody just come in the first day and you're 1 year older, so you are older than them. You know the Bible more than them. You can help them to grow too by using your gift and your time to help that person. So God say, if you love me, take care of my sheep. But the problem is the sheep is not around. You cannot take care of them. The sheep needs to come to show up. And to be around you. It's kind of two sides. Christian should be available to show up in the church, to come to the meeting, and to say, yes, take care of me, please. I'm here. I'm available. On the other side, the church member and leadership will help and take care of those younger believers. Amen. That's why our church has a care group system. We have home meetings. The reason we have home meetings, because from the pastoral point of view, from the heart of Jesus Christ, he said, if you love me, take care of my sheep. If you come to the church where only have the pulpit ministry, the pastor just preach to you and all the rest of the week, everyone is gone, you will not be taken care of. You will come to church, you sit there, and you don't know anyone. Next week, you sit in another corner, you don't know the next person close to you. No one can take care of you. If the church gets bigger and bigger, then no one know one another. Have you ever seen your friend that go to church for 10 years and know no one there? Yes, I have seen many of my patients. I ask them, you go to church for how long or 10 years? Do you know anybody? Oh, kind of. I don't know them very well. Why? Because they don't have the small group setting to be able to plug their life in and grow inside. Amen. So the reason we have care groups, because we want to make sure that all of you, it's not a law. It's not that we try to push you into the care group. No, because we loved you. We want to make sure that you are taken care of. We want to make sure that if, for example, you're sick, somebody will know and take care of you, send food to you. If you are troubled financially, you can call your care group leader, Tom, supposited, and say, Tom, I need money. So join his care group as soon as possible. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe you say that I'm lonely during Christmas time. Your care group will say, come to my home and let's have dinner together. Amen. Amen. It's so good that you have a family in a city instead of being alone by yourself. God wants you to have a family in this city. And in fact, I told Pastor Dada, I am closer to you than my own blood brother and sister because I spend time with you so much. The church is so important that we are so united, you so loving to each other that sometimes you are even closer than your own blood brother and sister. Because you spend time together and you can trust each other so much. Amen. That is the blessing of being in a local church, is to be taken care of, to be trained, to be taught, to be corrected. That word you don't like, I know. Everyone say, I like. The word correction. Amen. We need sometimes correction because we don't know everything. We don't see our own nose. How many people can see the tip of your own nose? Raise your hand up. You don't see, is it right? Or you can see the tip of your own nose? That would be very interesting. Okay. Okay. You have blind spot in your life. You don't see yourself. And sometimes you need brother and sister to come to you and say, look at my eyes. I'm going to give a sandwich to you now. You're good in this, but you're not good in this. And then you're good in this. Sandwich method. Sometimes people need to tell you what is wrong in your life so that you can change. Correction. And that is include all the care what we're talking about. I'm going to end the sermon here, but I want to say something from my heart today about the spiritual care. And I know that I say something like this many times, but I just want to be clear one more time. The reason I encourage people to go to care group, Bible study, having the fellowship, because I want to make sure that you are growing in the knowledge of God and you become strong Christians. That's my heart. I want to see all of you become strong believer, become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ that will shake this generation. God wants to use all of you. You cannot shake the generation if you are a weak Christian and you are just a consumer. God wants you to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ that can make impact into this generation. And also, as I understand from the Bible knowledge, that people have a lot of things inside them. I learned one thing. Let me share this quickly and I'm going to finish. I have been a Christian for 27 years now. And I noticed one thing, that my Christian walk goes so far with only the Bible knowledge. I study the Bible all the time. I'm a man that study the Bible all the time. Pastor Da can be my witness. I sit at the table and start to study Bible all day long because I love to study Bible. But I had gone so far in my spiritual walk, I know that I should love my enemy, but I cannot love. I know that I should love my wife, but I cannot love my wife as much as I should be loving her. All in head knowledge, until one day, the anointing came in. The Holy Spirit come in and start to work on the inside of me. In my personal experience, I find out that only head knowledge, which is good, don't take me wrong, I like head knowledge. I love knowledge. But the head knowledge alone will not change you to become like Christ. You need the anointing. You need the touch of God. You need the fire of God. Because with the knowledge and the fire come together, the fire take out all the junk, all the impurities. Yesterday, I listened to one of the care group leaders in our church. This couple who are care group leader come to me and say, Pastor Lau, it's interesting. Our members come in at the beginning in the group. They learn the Bible. You don't see so much thing, what's going on in their life. But when I push them into the prayer line, get touched by God, wow, all this impurity come out. They start to talk about their problem, all the things inside them, and God start to get rid of those things one by one, and they began to grow more and more. So God used that way. God give you the knowledge to renew your mind. That's why we preach the word of God. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit will come in and dig deep. Everyone say, dig deep. Burn. And let the impurity rise up that you see yourself what's wrong with you. And then you can scoop it out by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you become more purified, become like Christ. I believe with all my heart, and I'm going to say this another 1,000 times, with my conviction. And if you give me $1 million, I will not change this conviction. I believe that the end time church, they're going to become like Christ, ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, have to be the church that welcome the power and the touch of the Holy Spirit. Like that 5 wise virgin that have the oil ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to welcome the Holy Spirit and we need to let Him dig deep and do something deep on the inside of us. Since 1997, since I and Pastor Da have been touched by the fire of God, we really have been changed. rapidly, even though we still have the head knowledge. And that's the reason why we allow the time for the Holy Spirit to work in the church. Amen? Amen. In conclusion today, I want to encourage all of you that the church is the heart of God. If you love Jesus, you will love the local church. Not only this local church, you love all the churches all over the world. I'm not just talking about this church. You love all the churches. And not only that, you will be a bodybuilder. You will help build the church. Amen. Amen? Amen? Pull up your sleeve. Spend your energy. Use your talent to build the church. Do everything you can. And you will love brothers and sisters. Take care of them. You take care of his sheep. You take care of Jesus. You remember one time Jesus talked to Paul. Why do you persecute me? And Paul said, oh, I never met you, Jesus. Why do I persecute you? Jesus said, because you persecute my church. You need to understand, every time you love his people. You know, I really appreciate my wife. In the past 2 days, she cooked clean, cooked clean, cooked clean. This morning she woke up and she said, my arms are sore because I washed the dishes all day long, cleaned up the kitchen. She cooked and cleaned, she cooked and cleaned to feed a group of people in our house. But I know in my heart, Pastor Da did that because she loved Jesus. She doesn't mind to get tired, to spend money, to feed these people and spend time with them. Because we love the church. And I know that why she was doing that, why we are cooking and arranging our house to feed all these people. I saw Jesus in heaven smiling from heaven. And he just happy. He said, I know you love me. And son and daughter, don't worry. I am your side. If anyone touch you, they have to pass me. Because you look after my church, because you love my church, you take care of my people. Hey, anyone touch you, they have to touch me first. That's right. Amen. I know with all my heart, God is on my side. I know with all my heart, God give me favor. Amen. 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 I need to share this one quickly. God give me favor like this. I give you example. Last week, one patient show up. He say, he went to see two neurosurgeons. They all say, no way to help you. You have to live with this pain for the rest of your life. This patient show up, say, this is the last consultation. Otherwise, I'm going to live with the pain. I put the film up. God favor come upon me. God show me. This is the problem. No one else could see. It's a simple fix. 1 hour surgery. He woke up. The pain is gone. It's a favor of God. And you know, from this man, gonna go another 50 patients. He will spread the word for me. I don't need internet to publicize myself that what kind of surgeon I am. These people will speak for me. That is the favor of God. No one else could see it, but I could see it. Why? God up in heaven, Jesus said, I like Pastor Lau. I like Pastor Da. He looked after my church. Oh, good. I take care of you. Don't worry, you will have enough more than what you need. Amen? How many people want to live that kind of life? That God favor you, shower the favor, shower the grace to you, and say, I am on your side, I'm going to be with you. No one can touch you except they touch me first. If you live your life for the body, you live your life for the bride of Christ, for the local church. Amen? Priorities. Everyone say priorities. Priorities. The church is priority for me. My calendar, everything is around the church. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. We believe, Father, that you are building your people in the end time like this. We believe, Lord, the end time is near. The Lord Jesus will come back to the judgment seat of Christ. And we all going to stand before that seat to give an account of ourselves to you. And Lord, we want to do the best on earth here. We are preparing ourselves for the eternity. Lord, and the only institution that will last for eternity is the church. Lord, use all of us. Lord, convict all of us to build the church, to live our life for the local church. Father, help us, Father, to find our talents, our gifts, our passion and calling so that we can participate. We will be participating. We will not be just observing. We will not be just receiving from the church, but we will be givers, Lord. We want to give. We want to take care of people in the church, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, work in the hearts of your people in this house, Lord. And all the people who listen to the teaching from the podcast and MP3 and the CD, Father. Lord, may you bring impartation into their heart, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let me ask this question before we end this service. How many people say that I love Jesus Christ? Raise your hand up. How many people of you here don't know Jesus and you say, I want to know Jesus? Raise your hand up. If you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you to really come into the personal relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. Because He loved you so much and He died to pay for your sin. And He loved you. Amen. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I, mean Jesus, have come to give you life and give it more abundantly. You have to make choice between living by yourself, running your own life, and then you are vulnerable for the devil, for the enemy to attack you. I love you guys so much. You know, I've seen so many things in society, how the devil attack people. I need to share this. I need to share this. I'm sorry, I look at the time. I need to share this. 2 weeks ago, I heard a sad story. Two orthopedic surgeons, about 59 years old and 58 years old, very successful practice, lots of patients, very rich. Suddenly, the doctor find out one has a pancreas cancer. Another one has a lung cancer. And they're at the time of ready to be retired to enjoy their money. But they were not. Pancreas cancer and lung cancer are not curable. So they're on the sentence of death. At the same time, another police officer, the head of police officer in Bellingham, just retired a few months ago. 1 month after he is retired, he was found to have a cancer. And he's going to die in 2 months. The thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You may think that, you know, I don't need God, I work, I have money, I can enjoy my life. I'm not saying this to threaten you, but it's a fact of life. That's why I love the move of God. That's why I love to lay hand and get fire of God to go in. Because I know that since I am in the fire of God, I rarely get sick. The devil cannot be on me. Demon of cancer cannot touch me. I'm going to live a long life to serve God. My wife gonna have to be putting up with me for a long time because they're gonna live a long life. No. She loved me. She cared for me. I'm just kidding. Amen. That's why we need to put our life in the hand of Jesus so that we can be protected from the enemy. Because out there, the devil tried to destroy you. Make a choice today to give your life to Jesus. And let Him take care of you. Don't let the enemy touch you. Amen. Anyone want to be in the hand of Jesus instead of the hand of the enemy? Raise your hand up. In the hand of God. Amen. Why don't you pray with me to put yourself in the hand of God? Follow my prayer. Father in heaven. You created me. And you love me so much.
And you love me so much.
You have the best plan for my life.
You're the best friend for my life.
You're such a good father. You want to give me the best.
You want to give me the best.
You want to protect me.
You want to protect me.
Father, today. I put my life into your hand. I believe that Jesus Christ. Died on the cross. To set me free.
From sin and bondage.
From the work of the enemy.
From curses.
And sicknesses and diseases. Lord Jesus. Come and take over my life. Protect me, Lord. I turn away from my sins. And give my life to you.
Give my life to you.
Right now, Lord.
Right now, Lord.
You are my Lord and Savior. You saved me from sin, from bondage, from sickness, from diseases and curses, Lord. I put my life in your hand right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give the mighty hand of praise to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. But I'd like to ask one of the students to come out to give a testimony. How wonderful to be in a local church. How about Ashley? Can you come and give 3 minutes testimony to encourage people? How wonderful to be in a local church and with the fire of God, with all these things. Yeah.
Hello. I grew up in church since I was 7, and it was, I guess you can consider it a mega church. About, I think, 1,500 people or 2,000 people, 3 services, and it was comfortable. I went to Sunday school, and even now, my parents are involved with leadership and everything, but you know, they don't welcome the Holy Spirit and they don't welcome the fire of God. And you know, there are nice people there, very amazing people, but it's not the same. And it's so hard to go back because they're not focused on going deep, you know, and taking care of things that are generational, from when they were kids, you know, hurts. And that's one thing that Pastor La and Pastor Da love so much, is the fire of God taking care of those things, you know, inviting that and loving the person so much that they want their lives to be transformed and changed, you know, to go deeper than just hugging, you know, every Sunday and saying, hello, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, on the wild, just walking past them, you know, and saying, you know, how are you really? And you know, what's bothering you? You know, what's going on at home? You know, how are you with God right now? And that's one thing that I appreciate so much with Pastor Long, Pastor Don, the whole church, that I come here and I feel like family, because I know that my pastors love me and my care group leaders love me. And, you know, I can say that I've been Christian for 7 years, but really I count when I came to Seattle for school, that's when I really started to be effective for God and, be comfortable talking about God because of what He did in my life. And He has used that, and He has done so much that I thought was impossible in college. The grades that I get, my first day of college, I thought it was impossible. I didn't think people could get A's in college. I thought it was only high school or elementary school, and I have not seen anything but A's for 2 years. And people ask me, like, you must be a genius, but no, it's not. It's serving God and allowing Him to just change so much. And even people say, like, oh, you're so nice. I'm like, you know, I'm not actually, but God is changing. God's changing my heart, and He's done a lot. And people from when I was growing up would think I was nice, but I knew inside me that there are things that needed to change. And it wasn't until I came to New Hope International that I realized, you know, it's not okay. And God needs to take care of this. And I'm so thankful for pastors that, you know, welcome the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way it's going to come out, you know, it's going to change, it's going to leave, and amen, that I'm really going to have a life that I'm happy with, and that, amen, you know, love thank God you more.
And so, thank you.
I'm so thankful for
thank
church.
You. Amen. I always say that I don't like to put band-aid. I want the real stuff. I want the real change. Putting the band-aid on the wound with the bullet inside is a malpractice. I don't want to do malpractice in this church. It's a wrong practice. You need to dig deep. Get the bullet out. Amen. Get the shrapnel out to heal, kill the people and change. We want the real change. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206 275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,